recording. Good evening, folks. It's Chris Daly again, and it's my indeed pleasure to welcome you to another one of our Jamaican Conversation. Hosting our conversation this evening will be Janice Maxwell. Janice is a producer at Caribbean TV World. She's also the person in charge of Jamaican Diaspora blog, and she also hosts a monthly Jamaican American newsletter club, and she'll be performing our interview this evening. Take it away, Janice.
Thanks, Chris. H2 Worker is a controversial expose on the travesty of justice that takes place around the shores of Florida's Lake Okeechobee, a situation which, until the film's release, has been one of America's best-kept secrets. There, for 6 months of the year, over 10,000 men from Jamaica and other Caribbean islands perform the brutal task of cutting sugarcane by hand, a job so dangerous that low-paying Americans refuse to do. H2 Worker is the first documentary to tell the story of these men, named for their special temporary guest work visa, the H-2 visa. They live and work in conditions reminiscent to the days of slavery on plantations, housed in overcrowded barracks, poorly fed, denied adequate treatment for their frequent on-the-job injuries, paid less than minimum wage, and deported if they do not do exactly as they are told. The sugar plantations who employ the H2 workers sustain this exploitation, and they own the profits with the help of the U.S. government, which authorizes the importation of third world workers while it blocks the importation of cheaper third world sugar, a system of quotas and price support, citing national security. As the reason for this costly subsidizing of the sugar industry, H2 Worker was shot clandestinely in the cane fields and work barracks around Belgrade, Florida. It contains footage shot in places where no media has been successful in filming before, and where the filmmakers were denied permission to enter by the Sugar Corporation and local police. It is a film with powerful impact and resonance, certain to be both compelling and controversial. Our guest today is Stephanie Black. She has directed several documentary films that focuses on Jamaican culture, which includes the H2 workers. This film won Best Documentary, Best Cinematography Awards at the 1990 Sundance Film Festival and was the U.S. selection for Critics Week at cinemas. In addition to producing films, Stephanie has produced and directed music videos for Ziggy Marley, Snow, Anthony B., and IMJO, among others. Black is the recipient of John Simon Guggenheim Memorial Film Festival Fellowship. She also teaches documentary filmmaking. The film H2 Worker has been re-released. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about you. Where do you come from? Where do you hail from?
Where do I hail from? I hail from, actually, Jamaica, but Jamaica, Queens, not Jamaica, the Caribbean. So I'm actually from New York, and I grew up in New York. I'm an American, and I went to Jamaica the first time in the late 80s when I was making H2 Worker, and I fell in love with the island and have been going back since. But the first trip and the first visit I made to Jamaica was to visit the workers in their homes and their where they came from after having been with them in the cane fields.
Mm. What factors made you interested in this particular topic?
Okay, well, let me just say, H2 Worker, the film, what made me interested in the film is I was in Florida and I was making a documentary about Mexican farm workers who do the migrant stream, and there was a kind of, horrific story of the Mexican workers who are, you know, doing the stream and not, you know, working every day, you know, harvesting different crops depending on where they were. And actually, having hunger among them and not having enough money or making enough money to eat. And I started a project there, and I met a Haitian minister, and he said, do you want to see something? He said, do you want to come onto the sugarcane camps? And I didn't even know that we were growing sugarcane in Florida, nor did I know we were hand harvesting, and certainly I didn't know that we were flying 10,000 Caribbean men in every year for 6 months to harvest the cane. And so the minister brought me onto the camp kind of with him, because they don't allow people to come onto the camps. And as he was kind of, you know, discussing scripture with some of the workers, I was there looking around a bit, and a worker saw me, and he just presumed I was with the sugar industry because no one is allowed on the camps. And so if you're there, you know, it's pretty much with the permission and the assurance of the industry. And he looked at me with this kind of contempt, and I remember I wanted to say to him, like, no, I don't agree with this, I don't affirm this, because I was horrified by what I had seen. The barracks were dripping water from the roof, there was no real living space, like, the lights were kept on, you know, like, people had made these strings to keep blankets over so at night they could block the light out, and it was truly, truly horrific, substandard living quarters that the worst I had ever seen in my life. And I didn't know how to communicate to this person that, you know, no, I don't support this. And I remember the way he looked at me, it was like at that moment I said, okay, I'm gonna do the documentary about this, and I kind of took a U-turn in what I had been doing, and that's how the idea and the film was born.
I see. While viewing the film, Cesar Chavez complained that foreigners were coming in and taking the jobs from the Mexican Americans. Given the change in immigration patterns over the past 20 years, and the mechanization of harvesting of sugarcane, what are the present immigration issues for Jamaicans in regards to the H-2 policy?
Okay, well, everything that you see in the film now, the film actually is interestingly now archival footage, because the industry has mechanized since the film was completed. So in the mid 90s, there was a lawsuit against the sugar industry in which the manipulation of hours and the underpaying of men was brought to court, and it was found that the industry owed $51 million in back pay to the Caribbean workers. And that's when the following year is when the sugar industry mechanized, because from henceforth they would have to pay the men equitable wages, because now all eyes were on them. Because the issue is, it's not that the laws weren't on the books. The laws were on the books, it's just they were not being enforced, and no one was watching the industry to make sure that they were paying the men what they were promised. So, I mean, maybe I should back up a little bit and just kind of give a broad overview for listeners. It's just the H-2 worker program is a guest worker visa where the workers come for 6 months of the year to cut sugarcane, because the sugar industry files with the Department of Labor a certificate stating that they tried to find American workers, but no Americans are willing to do it. And so the workers were brought in since the mid-40s to cut sugarcane. And if you think about it, they have actually no representation in this country. They have liaison offices, but in terms of the politicians, they're not a voting constituency, and they can't compare with the U.S. sugar corporations, who are putting a lot of money into the campaign accounts of various politicians. And on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, the sugar industry would support, you know, to make sure that, you know, things went their way. So in any case, the workers were not allowed to be protected by the Florida Rural Legal Services, who are lawyers who are supporting farm workers, but because they were under this temporary guest worker program, they were forbidden to defend them. Finally, the same set of lawyers are the ones who were able to bring the lawsuit against the industry. And so as a result of it finally being exposed what the underpaying was and some of the conditions, that's when the industry decided to mechanize. So with respect to your question, I'm sorry, that's a long-winded way to go around doing it. The H-2 policy right now, most of the Jamaicans who are coming up as guest workers, they're not working in sugar industry. They're working in the apples, they're working in tobacco, they're working in hotels. The guest worker program has expanded to other crops. So while there's no longer the sugar industry bringing the 10,000 plus men in, there are other industries that men are coming in. And they're coming not only from Jamaica and the Caribbean, but now actually most of the guest workers who come in are coming in from Mexico. There's over 10,000 workers coming in every year to North Carolina. There are guest workers coming into Peru to do sheep herding in Colorado. And so the guest worker program has very much expanded since the time the film was shot. Mm-hmm. And which you know, leads us to address what is a guest worker program and do we need a guest worker program in this country?
I see. Why did you decide to re-release the film, and what has it been the response a generation later?
Okay. The film, I'm so happy it's been made available on DVD, because it came out in 1990 and it won first prize at Sundance Film Festival, which was a great honor, and it was invited to the Cannes Film Festival in the official selection of the Critics Week, which was also a big honor because they don't traditionally show documentaries at Cannes, and we were so happy to have that platform to be able to kind of showcase this exploitation which was going on, you know, at a major festival like Cannes, and it helped the film gets shown in Congress, et cetera. But the re-release is thanks to Docurama, which is a great distribution company which distributes classic documentaries. So I have to say it wasn't my idea. Docurama approached me, and they had seen the film, and they said that they would like to release it on DVD. And so we remastered it, and we did an update, and the DVD came out last week. And so far the response has been really positive because, you know, especially in the Caribbean community, a lot of people have, you know, grandparents or uncles who first came to this country on the farm worker program.
Oh, yeah.
They never...
A lot of people in my family did that.
Right.
And the men.
So I bet you it was really, you know, heart-wrenching for you to see actually what they went through and to see the conditions they were living in as opposed to the image that you had in your mind. Was that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Right. Well, I think a lot of people, they think that America, not just with my generation, but generations from the 1800s and 1900s, they said America streets were lined with gold and on. So there's all sorts of images about what it is to come to America or having the opportunity to come to America. But there's a growing population and a growing Jamaican population in Canada doing farm work. What is your opinion regarding this type of work?
Well, the farm work that a lot of my opinion basically is as long as the workers are getting paid equitably and are being housed appropriately and are not having, you know, wages unfairly deducted from their paycheck, you know, preferably they're allowed to cook their own food, they're not forced to buy the food from the company, if it suits a need, then you know, I'm not opposed to it. My position is I wasn't opposed to the guest worker program. I'm not opposed. I was opposed to the large scale exploitation of the workers who are coming up, you know, with very pure intent to just use their sheer strength to earn a living for their family because they just couldn't earn, you know, as much money in at home. And so they were forced to come by the circumstances driving them. But that doesn't provide any reason for the sugar industry to take advantage. Also, what happens when the workers come up to the Northeast to do the apples and when they go to Canada, they're working on smaller farms. They're not working, you know, for, you know, major corporations the way they were working. You know, there was like five main corporations in Florida that they were working for, so the camps were quite large, you know, with like 2,000 men apiece, whereas when they're working, you know, in the Northeast or in Canada, they're on much smaller farms, so you'll have, you know, maybe 25, 50 men on one farm, et cetera, and so there's a more personal relationship with the farmers, and it's a totally different kind of situation, and that's why I didn't include those other crops in the film, because those were different circumstances than the experience of the men cutting sugarcane.
Right. If you had the opportunity to consult the Prime Minister Golding with regards to farm workers, what would be the three issues you would want to tell him?
What would be the three issues I want to tell him? Well, I guess one issue would just to make sure that the liaison offices are to make sure that there's a voice on behalf of the workers who are ensuring that all the contract, the promises of the contract with regard to wages, housing, treatment for injuries, etc., is being fulfilled, because the workers need to be protected. And so that would be one thing. I think our second thing would be to look at, the export of labor is a resource of the nation. So, for example, Jamaica, which still produces sugar, perhaps the emphasis on looking at the farm worker program, some of that emphasis, it would be great if the U.S. was importing Jamaican sugar, for example, at that time, as opposed to, having an industry that's so heavily subsidized and needs such heavy subsidies. If you look at why are we bringing in the workers from the countries where we can be importing the sugar and then just creating, more economic opportunity for everyone in a more equitable manner. So that would be something. An encouragement of, I think it's an encouragement of more local production and more local consumption, because it all ties in.
Okay. Another one of Jamaica's import is its pop culture via reggae. What is your opinion on the fair revenue sharing in this industry?
You mean another one of Jamaica's imports, or you mean our exports?
Well, okay, Jamaica's export. Yeah, you're right, export. You're absolutely right. But since we're in the diaspora, it would be import.
What a fair revenue sharing? You mean the fact that most of the reggae artists are signed to American companies or foreign companies? Is that what you're...
Yeah, and they're not really getting any money. I mean, it in a way, the way they're being the sugar cane, you can juxtapose what's happening with the sugar cane workers to the reggae singers. I mean, who's making the real money?
Yeah,
I mean, their face may be on the label, on the cover of the CD, but who's making the real money? And look what they have to do. Like there was a big lawsuit in France in regards to the same issue. All these Jamaican artists are being exploited left and right. No, they're not getting any sort of, royalties.
Hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with that suit. I'm definitely familiar with the fact that, it's a tragedy that, for the music to reach out, globally, that the artists had to sign to foreign labels, but at a certain point it was the nature of the game, just because it wasn't CD manufacturing plants in Jamaica and such. But I think that the Jamaican government could give a lot more incentives towards the music industry and encourage, a better infrastructure, maybe in Jamaica, such that, that there can be, better export in a certain way. If there is, maybe some kind of subsidy or some kind of, kind of tax-free, because, I am aware of the experience when I know, like, musicians would bring down their own CDs, they'd get manufactured up here, and then they'd want to bring down, a few hundred or thousands of CDs, and they would be taxed again, coming in, bringing in their own music to sell there. So I agree with you. I'm not so familiar, I'll be honest, with, the whole issues. I agree that, that a country should own its own music, and it's such...
Even the artists having royalties for what they're putting out.
Yeah.
The same kind of exploitation that occurred with African Americans during the 50s and earlier with their music, it's happening to the Jamaican artists now. Yeah. So that's what I was... I wasn't sure, since you were into... since you made videos and things of that nature, I thought maybe you were familiar with those issues.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, reggae is an incredibly inspirational music, and it's a kind of... It's a music that keeps your mind exactly where it should be, and so... I'm very indebted to all the reggae artists for keeping me company with their music during the late hours of editing and all that, and throughout my whole life, for for kind of teaching me, educating me, opening up my mind, you know, so I'm
Well, in the U.S., we are in the midst of a realignment of our economy. Given the recent meltdown, the immigration policy will be the key ingredient. And how best can we serve equitable in global economy, especially for non-skilled work laborers?
Well, what's happening now, in before Bush left office, at the 11th hour in December, he passed an expansion of the guest worker program and a reduction of oversight for the guest workers. So to make it easier for more workers to be brought in and for more exploitation to occur. The Obama administration has kind of frozen that and is reevaluating it, and the Obama administration has said that they have as a goal new immigration policy by the end of the year. A lot of the immigration reform, which has been discussed in the past few years and people have been lobbying for, is for a lot of the workers who are in the country here illegally but who have been working for a number of years, be it in agriculture or other arenas, to be given a green card, to be given legal status. But what has also been accompanying that is an expansion of the guest worker program, because the employers are arguing that once these workers have their legal status, they will no longer want to work in these jobs, and so they'll need another labor force, which will be the temporary guest workers, to do this work. And I think that's where the real discussion and analysis should come in, is that why, you know, are these jobs so low paying, to the point where there always has to be a kind of second-class citizen who is willing to take these jobs. I think we kind of have to raise up the standard by which we pay agricultural workers, so that is work that people who have their legal status are willing to do.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Do you have a perspective on the recent concluded summit of the Americas that was held in Trinidad?
Well, God, you guys are asking me big questions, you know, say I'm a filmmaker, okay? I mean, I think, you know, the from what I know, you know, which is just through the media, the mainstream media, it seemed that, you know, that the meeting was, you know, for Obama, his first time traveling in that region. You know, he's not familiar with the Caribbean. He had never been there before, and he, I guess, had only been to Mexico once before the last visit. And so I think there was an excitement for, you know, the leaders to meet Obama and for Obama to kind of put forth, you know, a kind of perspective of a more humbled America, you know, who wants to deal with nations despite their size in a more equitable manner. But I know that there was a little feeling, I think there was some kind of flub that, you know, he didn't fully acknowledge that he was in the Caribbean and to that degree. But, I'm sorry to say, you know, forgive me, that's not.
But as a filmmaker, what future work can we look forward from you?
I'm just at the precipice of some new projects that I'm starting, and I'm just kind of see which one. When you make a documentary, it's kind of like you jump. It's like jumping into a lake, and like you got to get out, but you can't get out like by swimming back from where you came. You got to swim far to the other side. So I'm just kind of dipping my foot in the water to see if the subjects I'm working on are the ones that I'm going to go through, because it takes a while. The H2 Worker took 3 years to make. Life and Death took a few years to make. I made the documentary Africa Unite. That took a few years to make. So before embarking, you know, I'm kind of just, I'm just researching. I'm just in the research phase right now.
I understand. Chris, do you have any final words for our distinguished guests?
I was just wondering, Stephanie, if there's any resources that you'd like to share for those who may want to learn further or continue to study further on this issue of H2 workers.
Sure, yeah. There's a fantastic website. It's Farmworker Justice. That's www.farmworkerjustice.org, where they can read up-to-the-minute analysis of what's happening in Congress, what's happening in the Department of Labor concerning farm workers and specifically guest workers. We have a website, www.lifeanddebt.org, which if they scroll down, brings you to the H2 Worka website. And we hope that people will go out and get the documentary and watch it and then watch the update and see how, although they're bringing in guest workers from other countries, the program itself has not changed. You know, there's still an issue of if you're in a country and you're here based on a visa that's tied to your employer, meaning your employer has brought you here, so you can only be in this country when you're working for that employer. So that, if you complain, basically the employer will just send you back home. That's been the practice, and that still remains to be the practice. And so I think the film combined with the update is really a good educational tool to understand the history and the present discourse concerning the guest worker program and its expansion.
I see. Well, to learn more about Chris Daly's work, visit his blog at Jamaicans.com and under the link Me Thinking Are You. And to learn more about Jamaican Diaspora, visit JamaicanDiaspora.com. You can listen to this, you can watch TV, and just a lot of interesting things about what's happening on the island and Jamaicans in the diaspora. And Stephanie, we're going to give you the last word. To learn more about Stephanie Black's work, where can they how can they contact you?
Through the website, www.lifeanddebt.org, and all the DVDs, Life and Debt, Africa Unite, H2 Worker, they're all available on Amazon.com, or also through the website. There are links where people can get the documentaries. So I hope people will watch them and discuss them and pass them on.
Okay. Stephanie, we definitely had enjoyed spending some time with you, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.